Hi, you're listening to Cookies and Cream, episode 9.
Well, on this episode, we're talking about the friend zone.
Friend zone. We get real on this episode. We talk about real friendships, mostly with friendships of the opposite sex.
Are they healthy? Are they platonic friends? What is emotional abuse? What's an emotional affair? Guys, we're going to go into the whole shebang, so listen in. It starts now.
Hi, I'm Lisa.
And I'm Rob.
And you're listening to a podcast about
life,
faith,
family,
and relationships.
Hey guys, what's up? Welcome to Cookies and Cream.
Why did you say it like that? Hey guys.
I'm sorry, Lise. I'm still kind of sick.
Yeah, he is.
I'm still kind of sick, and it's just
I feel like you're trying to make it sound worse right now.
Oh, no, this is really how I sound.
Whatever, Rob.
Oh, jeez. Try not to push me. You know how these contraptions are held together. They're held together by the Lord. Guys, we might take a selfie of how we record this. So that you guys can, I don't know, find it in your hearts to buy us another mic.
Oh, man. But guys, we missed you last week. Rob was really sick, and then I got a little sick too, and it was just very overwhelming, and we were not ahead of the game. So we're back, though.
We're back. We're back. And yeah, you know, a lot has happened in the world since we last posted an episode. Lise knows where I'm going with this. Guys, we're not having kids anymore. Because apparently the next one won't be American. And so we're like, nope, that's where we stop. The buck stops here. We promise to never talk about politics unless it actually directly affects our lives.
Oh my, which means we might talk about it a lot. No, I'm just kidding.
No politics here, except our third kid will be like, what, like German? Like, what the heck? What are we supposed to do?
Okay. All right.
All right. Anyway, sorry.
But seriously, on a serious note, though, it is such a privilege and an honor to get to go and vote. So don't take that lightly. Go and vote.
Go
November
vote.
6th. Go do it.
Go vote, people. Do the right thing. Vote. Pray. Vote.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, that's just an intro. An intro. We were going to do Pop That Culture, but apparently I am also not that popular in popular culture. I couldn't find anything. I was like, Lise, you probably know everything I know.
So I highly doubt, but you just didn't have...
I didn't have anything.
Motivation.
No motivation to laugh at you. Because we're talking about some sensitive things today. What are we talking about?
We are talking about the friend zone.
Mm. Da, 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 da. You've all been there. You know what it feels like. You all know what it's like. You all know that it's cold.
Oh, wow.
And weird.
Weird, yes.
It's weird.
Confusing.
The friend zone is like what? Like, it's like being very hungry and sitting in Chipotle and not being able to buy anything. That's what.
And oh my gosh.
And pretending you're not hungry.
Gosh. That's the best.
And you're just there. People are like, I'll have a burrito bowl. You're like, no, I'm good. I'm good. I love it. I actually love this. I love being there for you every time you break up with someone.
Oh my gosh, you're killing me. Stop.
Oh, man. The friend zone is painful.
Oh,
people.
Man. But now I kind of want Chipotle for lunch, though.
I know. Chipotle. Who doesn't want Chipotle? They have something new. I saw them saying.
Ooh.
I don't know. Yeah. They have like...
I'm going to go and suss it out.
I don't even know. It's like a meat.
You mean they bought chorizo back?
Oh, chorizo's back. Chorizo's back. Anyway, okay. So that's what the friend zone is like. But anyway, we're talking about the two extremes of the friend zone. The bad friend zone and the good friend zone.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't really a bad friend zone because I think the other one is bad for one person.
Yeah.
But really good for the other.
I think maybe another way of putting it is healthy versus unhealthy.
Touch on that more, please. Sorry. While I take a swig of this coffee.
Oh my goodness. Well, I just think good and bad in my head. Like, if I was listening to this and I was stuck in a friend zone, which I really didn't want to be in, I don't know. Bad just sounds like, I don't know. I like healthy versus unhealthy because I feel like if you're in an unhealthy friend zone, Like, there's more for you, and we would want more for you, and you should want more for you.
True.
So I just think I prefer that terminology than good versus bad.
Well, right now, I'm actually going to look up something, right, while we talk, because I'm trying to figure out, like, there are people, you know, we know exactly what the friend zone is, but what if there's someone listening to this who doesn't know what the friend zone is?
Ooh, are you going to get a definition for us?
I just want, like, the basic definition.
Okay, so let's see what it says.
So, let's see what the internet says.
Because that's, you know.
Oh, jeez. Well, I'm just I'm just going to read what popped up. It says, a situation in which a friendship exists between two people, one of whom has an unreciprocated romantic or sexual interest in the other. So, basically, it's just one person's like, hey, I really like being friends. And the other guy's like, it's usually a dude in the zone. Dudes are usually in the zone. But anyway, it's the other person that you're like, I really want to be in a relationship with that person, but it's just not happening. The other person's like, nah, we're just friends. In church circles, we say, once the girl says we're brothers in Christ, you're out. Once you get that BIC, you're out.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny that you say that, though, because you remember when Hope yesterday in the car was like, was Daddy your brother before he was your husband? And my response was, no.
No. That's somewhere in Utah, girl. Somewhere in Utah, that's when that happens.
Oh, Rob, stop.
Hey, if you're from Utah, sorry, but you know what it is. You know what it is. Sister wives. Yeah, but that was funny because she couldn't understand like how we met.
Yeah, she was very confused.
Like, how do you meet someone that you marry?
Right.
Surely your brothers and brother and sister somehow.
You're right.
It's kind of messed up. But, you know, in her world, she's like, how else would you develop? In fact, in her world, it is so pure that she's like, surely a marriage needs to. Like, that little girl is bright.
Yeah, she is.
A marriage needs to evolve out of some relationship.
Yep.
Can you imagine that? She's four and she's like, this has to be developed over time.
Mm-hmm.
She's like appreciating, you know, because obviously she sees my husband's skills at work and she's like, well, how do you do that? Just all of a sudden. I'm getting the stare of death. No, but seriously, you know.
No, it's so true. And I think that is valid because this takes us to kind of like our origins of friendships.
Yeah.
Right? And
yeah,
Hope clearly was like, there had to have been something that existed here.
Yeah.
Before you suddenly just got married.
Yeah. And that's such a good point because, mm-hmm. you see, the friend zone is a place where... where emotions go to die. The friend zone is a place where I think it brings us to the question, like, about, like, for me, right? Mm-hmm. Like, for a long time, I wasn't a believer of the fact that platonic friendships, right, can exist. Like, I didn't think so. I always thought that every friendship that I watched, right, between two people of the opposite sex, there was always someone waiting for a door to open. It always felt like that. It always felt like love was going to come softly, like some Hallmark movie or something. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it was like, okay, can a platonic friendship actually truly exist? And that's a question we want to hear from you guys, like, do platonic friendships exist? Are they platonic friendships or relationships? What you call them? Platonic friendships.
I guess.
Oh, okay. I don't know. English is my second. But but Lise, what do you think?
Well, I think, like, at first, I was kind of what, like, you thought, that no, I don't think so. But then when I really started to think about it, I was like, wait, I have had some genuine platonic friendships in my own life, where it's like, no, we were really just friends.
Yeah, and I'm saying from the jump, because I think they do eventually exist when someone is friends.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm talking about at the beginning.
Right at the beginning.
Like, the ones I can think of, I feel like right from the beginning, it was
nothing there. It was just like,
nope.
Friend.
Yeah.
Friend zone.
Yeah.
That's where we are. That's where we exist.
Yep.
And we're friends.
Yeah.
That's good, because I've come to, later on in life, adapt to the reality that And it might be before I was a Christian and then after I was a Christian. Before I was a Christian, I was like, maybe every potential friendship is like, I don't know, maybe it was just my brokenness, but it was like, every friendship potentially could be, or you should stay away and make sure that that person always knows they're in the friend zone because you have absolutely no interest in that.
Yeah.
But you are getting a vibe from the other person that...
Right, like the line not to cross.
They're kind of lingering. They kind of sometimes hold your hand a little too long and you're like, oh.
See, I didn't really hold hands with my platonic friends.
No, I mean like... When you crack a joke,
then I see like the tap on the shoulder. Like,
did you feel that?
Lingers.
Did you feel that spark? And you're like, nope, nothing. Just like a damp towel on that one. Nothing.
Oh man.
So platonic friendships.
Yeah.
They exist, and it's a good foundation.
I think
it's a good foundation for a healthy life.
Yes. And healthy friendships and relationships.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they are, do you think they're few and far between, or do you think the majority of people, because you know what I mean? Like,
I think they're less than we anticipate.
So you think there's more people in a friend zone than there are like genuine platonic friendships? Like there's someone who's going, let me out. I want to be more.
And I don't know if necessarily that's felt like right in the beginning even, but sometimes I think too, like as a friendship grows, you could then start to go, oh man, like maybe I want more than just this friendship, or maybe I like this person in a different way than what I've been thinking. So I think that that's why I think it's few and less, because I feel like there's always, and the hard part is, right, is you only know what you think or feel. You might not necessarily know what the other person does.
Yeah, that's true.
Until either they say or try something.
Try their luck. Nope.
Boundaries.
No Mega Millions for you. Wrong numbers. You know, I'm laughing a little too hard because, Lise, I actually think like one of the saddest things is seeing someone who's like just lingering and waiting. And then the worst thing is I see abuse on both sides. And I call it abuse because sometimes girls or guys, they know that this person likes me. And there's a thing that I call out, and I just want to call it out with the dudes. There's a thing that dudes do where they like attention and they like being liked. So they like being liked. Mm-hmm. They know it's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
But they like you being there because they're like, you know what? When no one is texting me back, you know, when my main targets not texting me back, this girl will text me back. Mm-hmm. When I need to just speak to a female, this female is going to pick up the phone and is going to talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be there for me. And they're going to bake me a pie, you know. And it's like this need to be wanted.
Yeah.
And then on the flip side, at least, there's the need to be needed. Some people are like, they're like professional friend therapists.
Oh my gosh.
So it's like, oh, they just need me. I have to go. And I'm like, shush. Stay here. They're fine. Like, you know what I mean? Right.
Absolutely.
Because it's like, oh, I have to be there. I'm like, no, you don't.
Yeah.
It's not the end of the world for them.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually abusing you.
Yeah.
Because you're sticking around because there's some degree of emotion you've invested in this relationship. And they only make withdrawals emotionally.
Yeah.
When they need you, when they're down, when they need to feel something.
Right. It's true.
It's like a bummer. But it plays into like the good friend zone, you know, the friend zone that I think, you know, because here's the transition. Here's the reality is that friendships before you're married look a certain way, right?
Right.
So if you are platonic friend number one, you're always there. Mm-hmm. You're the phone call. You know everything about your opposite sex friend's relationship. They call you. They da da da.
Mm-hmm.
You're the one who picks up the pieces and da da.
Yep.
And then they get married to that same person. The same person that you were helping. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now it's like you need to bounce, because that's not your place anymore.
Hashtag drama.
Drama, right?
Oh, man. I hear you. Like, I think that's where kind of we even start to talk about, like, the boundaries that we have in friendship. So even what does a friendship look like? Like, what does a healthy friendship look like?
Yeah.
Because you can think, just like that example you explained, like, it's healthy, right? Like, I am the good friend.
Yeah.
I am the friend that is always there. I am the friend that listens and comforts and consoles and reassures and validates and all of those things.
Yeah.
And then you're right, then I'm married, and now what happens?
Yeah. Now, yeah. What? Yeah. Who are you?
Where do I fit into this equation? And I think that's where we see a lot of people get hurt, when their best friend of the opposite sex gets married.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're really hurt and wounded.
Yeah, which brings my question. Is it okay? Is it okay to have friends of the opposite sex when you're married? And what does that look like?
Well, I think, like, I want to address the fact that if we're using that example right now, there is an emotional attachment and connection in that friendship that is deeply intimate.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not you think so, like, we're just friends, but there is a huge emotional attachment and intimacy level going on there.
Mm.
Right?
Mm.
So then, how does that translate into that same example in being married? So let's just say, for instance, I'm the one that has the guy friend.
Yeah.
And then you and I get married.
Yeah.
Right? Can I still call the dude and talk to him about all the things that I used to, especially pertaining to you?
Yeah, absolutely not.
Exactly.
All of a sudden.
Right. All of a sudden, which I think leads us to, like, even that word we used a little bit earlier, like, boundaries, right? Like, what does a healthy friendship look like?
Yeah.
Because we think that in our friendships, we are creating intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're building that. We're intimately connected. And therefore, I, leading up to getting married, would have to address that.
Yeah.
And would have to begin to, even before we're married.
Yeah.
Because then what tends to happen is the dude hates you.
Yeah.
And isn't mad at me.
Yeah.
But is actually angry at you for kind of, like, taking his place.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
But it's not his place.
Yeah.
But I allowed him that space.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
That's really good. It's really good to talk about this, because sometimes we don't even think about, like, certain things. Like, you know, because, you know, just through Christian lens, I can say that there are spaces and places that are just reserved for your wife. Yeah, here's the thing, or your husband. There's this thing that came out, like, you know, I think it was always a thing, but just of late, you know, it's kind of come out again. And it's like the Billy Graham rule. And Billy Graham used to say, I never spend time with a woman who's not my wife.
Right.
He's like, actually, alone, he would never be found alone.
Yeah.
In a room, in an elevator. Like, he never actually ever gave a chance.
Right.
For something to not happen. And and it feels extreme.
Mm-hmm.
But then you think, Billy Graham actually is Billy Graham, right? Today. Yeah. So you can imagine if that was an aspect of his life that he said, I'm going to guard this ferociously.
Mm-hmm.
He was going, I know who I am. I know what I'm called to do.
Yeah.
I cannot even give this a hint to be destroyed.
Yeah.
And we're watching now, maybe somewhat prophetic, that there are a lot of people who did not do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually don't have jobs now.
Right.
Like, they've lost everything, their legacy, whatever it is. So I think about, and the impact, and imagine the lives and the churches or whatever that have been, because they did not have firm boundaries. Now, we're talking about pastors. Yeah, we're talking about that. But everyone listening to this, like, I'm not a pastor, man. I was like, and I can have friends who who are of the opposite sex.
Yeah.
I think my whole thing is that I would start at a place where I was like thinking about this. I was like, well, how do you got, like, what is the line? Like, let's say you do have these friendships and relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is the line? Because there are people, like, we chatted about this a little bit before this, and we were like, there are friendships from your past, and you kind of all become friends, but the person of the opposite sex is actually more friends, you know, for example, with your wife, your husband, whatever.
Right.
And it's like, okay, yeah, this is genuinely my friend. We, mm-hmm. You know, when we met, when we were dating, you knew that this person was my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And then how does that develop? How does that change? How does that develop into something healthy?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because friendships are emotional.
Yeah.
So where's the boundary in how much emotion can be part of the friendship? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know what that boundary is.
I think it leads me to ask some of the questions like that we had even spoken about.
Yeah.
Can I bring those up?
Yeah.
So, like, some of the questions I think that we had written down from reading and doing some research that really we were like, oh, those are good questions. And these actually came from like a secular article, so not faith-based at all.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
But some of them were like, is your spouse unaware of that friendship and that relationship?
Mm. Mm.
And I thought that that was a good one. Like, if you're hiding something, that obviously is a problem.
Yeah.
Another one, like, if your spouse was around with you and that person, would you act differently in any way?
Yeah, it's a big one. Yeah.
It's a really big one. Oops, and I lost my other one.
No, it's like, do you have a physical or an emotional attraction to your friend? And here's the thing, emotional attraction is very hard to decipher. That's where, like, that's where I think the past and habits that you set up for yourself in.
Yeah.
So here's the thing, I'm going to say this. This is going to be very unpopular maybe, but I'll say this. If you're a guy and all your friends are girls, you need to stop that. If Amen. You're a girl and all your friends are guys, you need to stop that.
Amen.
Because what I believe is that in those instances and situations, like if all your friends end up getting married, you are losing a degree of intimacy in your friendships because it can, especially through a Christian lens, they cannot stay the same friends, the same kind of friends after they're married. So you could be BFFs all you like. But once they get married, that space not for you. Like, no more. I'm not telling you that this person's not because that's no longer your space.
Yep.
And because you're a person, you're a guy. So, you know, no matter how platonic your friendship is, there's a great degree of emotional investment in the friendship, which then makes you, you know what? My husband doesn't get me, but you get me.
Yep.
My husband doesn't understand, but you understand.
Mm-hmm.
Or my wife doesn't understand, you understand.
Mm-hmm.
And I think emotion and a lot of people, that's why I say, like, the need to be needed or the need to be liked is a very, it's emotional manipulation because you're like, I just want to be needed.
Yep.
So you're filling a void in your own heart. Mm-hmm. You want there to be chaos. Mm-hmm. It's never fun when there isn't chaos or drama.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's good to have friendships that are of the same sex.
Absolutely.
Like real strong ones.
Absolutely. Because here's the reality. You do need a place to go and to process through things sometimes and work through your own emotions.
Yeah.
But that needs to be, so for me, that needs to be a woman.
Yeah.
That one, yes, will listen and validate and affirm, but will also call out the parts in me that I need to fix, right? Or I need to work on. But that is also creating a type of intimacy in our friendship, but it's healthy and appropriate because there can be no misconstrued ideas or feelings or emotions attached to that conversation.
Exactly.
Um, So yes, you absolutely. And if you do not, if you're listening and you do not have friends of the same sex, we're really going to challenge you to work on that.
Yeah, just
like,
work on it.
It is so important. Like, try. Even if you're like, I get along better with guys. I grew up mostly around boys. All of my mom's friends had boys. Like, I was very comfortable around boys. But even from a younger age, there was still that need and that desire to connect with girls.
Yeah.
Even though they weren't necessarily around or easily accessible, right, in friend groups. But it takes work. And even if you think it's more comfortable, like you feel like you're a little bit more emotional or you connect better with women, like I can guarantee you there are lots of more emotional or more sensitive men around you than you may even realize.
Yeah. And the girls were like, girls are too emotional.
Exactly.
And guys are not.
So I don't want the drama of girls.
There's so much drama. And so they're like, I just want to be around guys because guys... That may be a genuine thing, but at the end of the day, look, like, you're going to get married. Or if you don't get married, your friends are going to get married. Like, whatever path you, however you cut and dice this up,
right,
there's going to be a time where those relationships, especially through a Christian lens, that you can no longer be that kind of friend. And if you're practicing to be a destructive force in a marriage... Do you know what I mean? Because you're already doing it when they're dating.
Yeah.
You're actually being that thing when they're dating that when they become, you know, it's like you're almost okaying it. You're like creating a system of thought and response and engagement that isn't healthy.
Yeah.
In the future.
Absolutely.
And so that's a thing. Like you have to be careful about that because those lines, we're asking, like, those lines sometimes are not written in stone, set in stone. So you have to actually feel like, oh, this is, okay, you know, we're always talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, maybe this is not a place. You need to find some females.
Right.
You need to find some guys that you can talk to about this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think because we forget that friendships are the foundations of romantic relationships. Friendships are the foundation of marriage.
Yeah.
Like, you get to know somebody, it progresses. And so we can't forget that. And that's why the emotional side of it that we're talking about is so key and so important, because we have to remember that intimacy is not just a physical thing. So being physical doesn't mean you're intimate. Like, in those friendships, we're creating intimacy. We're getting to know each other deeper. That's then what starts to attract us to somebody, or how we deal with things, or that person comforts us. You know, it all adds into our, like, little storage container of intimacy and emotions and that attachment.
Yeah.
And that's why I do. The boundaries are so important. And I also, like, even as you were talking, Rob, like, I suddenly thought about, like, create those healthy boundaries for yourself.
Yeah.
Because even though right now maybe you're sitting there and you feel like all your friends are getting married and you're losing that position in their life, you may ultimately get married too.
Yeah.
And then how are you protecting yourself and also loving your friends? Well, I think we can even take this up a level. Like, if you really want to be a good, healthy, loving friend, those boundaries are necessary and so important.
And I think... Not to even dive into this, but I think a lot of brokenness in marriages that you eventually find is that, you know, even just reading up on this a little bit more and experience in life, just life experience, is that, when that emotional position is taken up by someone, you know, you find that it does make it easier for even physical things to manifest in that way. And not saying that emotional affairs are less of a thing than a physical one, but it's like recognizing that, oh my, I'm now diving into this thing where, you know, I've always needed to have someone respond to me this way, and therefore now that's what I'm doing. Now I'm looking for it, now I'm seeking it out.
Yeah.
And that's always like, it's always like interesting to see that. So it's like, you know, I guess the question that we kind of leave out there today with everyone is, you know, what is the boundary? Like, what is that like? Like, you know, is it, hey, if we are married, then we develop all our friendships within the confines of like other, we find other married couples to be friends with. Or once one of the spouses develops a friendship with the other, we quickly go, hey, let's all come and hang out. Like, cause I,
yeah.
How does that develop individually? Maybe it's a work relationship that's developing into a friendship. Maybe it's a water cooler friendship or a project that you guys are on together for months on end, and you develop a friendship, you know, and you, many ways relationships develop. Sometimes they develop because you're both fighting the man, you know, it's like, oh, the boss is annoying. And then you become good friends at work. But those things are good to check. Like, do you change how you act? Do you even lie? Like, even like a little white lie. Like, what did you do today? Nothing much. But no, you had a 1.5 hour conversation with someone at work that you thought was really encouraging and engaging. And you're like, oh, I'm really hiding the fact that I spent an hour and a half talking to someone of the opposite sex who's a friend of mine at work. Or I didn't have fun. And it was like, oh no, it was so much fun.
Yeah.
And you're starting to hide little truths about things you're enjoying.
Right.
Yeah, that's a sign that it's time
red
to,
flag.
It's time to reverse that truck.
Warning.
Go back. Get back. You don't know me like that.
Oh my.
Yeah, and here's the thing, Lise, like, you know, we talk about this lightly, but there's a lot of hurt, there's a lot of brokenness. The reason why we're making this podcast is that, you know, I can speak for myself. I grew up in a broken home, and that's not a thing I want for anyone, any kid.
Yeah.
And I can tell you this, that our heart is to start speaking truth into a lot of areas. We may be wrong. We may be, you know, we may not get it 100%, but we want to know. I think dialogue helps.
Yeah, definitely.
To straighten that out and make it clearer for everyone.
For sure. And the one thing that we wanted to make sure that we also just address before closing out this episode is that there is a form of emotional abuse, and mostly that is defined by your spouse, specifically in this instance. We'll talk about that. Or even someone you're dating. This could be a warning sign. Trying to isolate you and tell you that you cannot be around your friends. We just wanted to really make sure that we're being very clear that there is a way that this can also be used as a very abusive, emotionally abusive tool. And so if you are in a situation like that, we are not condoning that. We do not agree. And if you need somebody to talk to, we are a safe place too. I'd be happy to talk with you. But I just really wanted to put that out there because there is a very real existence of emotional abuse. And so we wanted to make sure that that we addressed that, that we didn't downplay that either, or make it sound like you cannot have any friends.
Yeah.
Because if you're in a situation where someone is isolating you from people, that is wrong and it is abusive.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and also overly suspicious. Like,
yes. Oh,
you were
just
talking to a lady, one of your coworkers, and then your spouse sees it as like, who is that? That's abuse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's like, we're having a conversation out in public.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
Like, that's not what it is. You know what I mean? And it's like, so what we don't want to do is empower abuse as well. And
no,
say,
we do not.
But we want to hear back from you. We want to hear how you've coped. You know, if you're like, ah, you guys are talking rubbish.
Yeah, like tell us.
A ton of people and it's nothing. It's all platonic. Yeah, it's cool. No, it's like, you know, because they'll be annoyed by this.
They'll
be like,
they will. They're seething right now.
It's like, oh, geez, what are you guys? So, you know, but we want to know because that's how we grow.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure.
Ah, man, so glad that we're back.
Me
so
too.
Glad we did this. Well, hit us up, leave a review.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Enjoy the Friday, guys. It's Saturday tomorrow. Yay, enjoy yourselves.
It's the weekend.
It's the weekend. Don't live for the weekend, but when it's the weekend, live.
That's oh, my.
That sounds like a Corona ad. All right. Peace.